Good evening. Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful song. You heard of the northerner that was traveling down south for the first time, stopped at a little diner, and the whole meal, he was wondering what the little white stuff was that came with his meal. He asked the waitress what it was, and she was like, "Well, it's grits." He was like, "Well, I didn't order it. Do I have to pay for it?" She was like, "Sir, you don't have to order it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't even have to eat it, but you get it. The free gift of grace is there. Yes, you don't have to accept it if you don't want to. The free gift of God's grace is there, and I'm thankful for it." The beginning, I'm going to start with some verses from John 14, 15, and 16. John 14, verse 16 and 17 says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And the verse 26, "But the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." John 15, 26. "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." And John 16, 7 and 8. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will come not unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." Talk a little bit tonight about a better teacher. Do you have that aunt or uncle or friend or whatever that when they leave, it's better? Now, I figured everybody's mind would go to that. But I'm talking about that one person that you love dearly and you love being around, but when they leave, they just, you know, give you that green handshake when they leave. So it's better when they leave, right? When I took a fellow of mine home, a buddy, I took him home because circumstances, he didn't have a ride. It wasn't very far, but he left like $50 in my car when he got out. Well over what it cost to take him. And so I was like, "Anytime you want a ride, buddy, I'll give it to you." Jesus came after his birth, and that whole story happened. The first thing we see him do is teaching the truth. 12 years old, he's in the temple answering questions and asking questions and teaching. When John's disciples came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus said, "Look," you know, they're asking, "Are you the one that we should be waiting for, looking for, or should we look for somebody else?" He said, "The blind see, the diseased are healed, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead is raised to life again, the gospel is preached to the poor. What more proof do you need? See the evidence and decide for yourself." And should not that be the same concerning our lives? As the old saying goes, the proof is in the pudding. Jesus fulfilled the prophecies. Christians should produce the fruit of the Spirit. But back to Jesus. Back to who he was. We see him blessing someone with a miracle, forgiving sin, teaching the kingdom of heaven, praying. We see him dying. We see a better priest or a better Savior compared to the Old Testament process and sacrifices. But I say all of that about this better Savior because Jesus had to go away. He in the physical form could not stay here forever. How would it be if Jesus was still walking this earth? If you wanted to talk to Jesus, you'd have to fly to the Middle East and stand in a great big old long line to probably get to talk to him, right? This is to our advantage that he go away. It was better this way, which leads me into this better teacher, the Father wants to give. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? In Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door. I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. Many times that verse is used, you know, about salvation. Let the Lord into your heart and be saved and, you know, enter into his life and all that. But I think it's a little bit more about salvation because it says come into him and sup with him. It's an ongoing thing. It goes on day after day. And we learn of him, a better teacher. It says he will teach you all things. Now, just think and remember who taught you something. I know we're all still learning things, but just think about who taught you this, that, or the other thing. Who taught you, you know, how to talk or to ride a bike or to change the oil in a car? It amazes me how people don't even know how to check their oil or change a tire or something. But you have teachers all through your life. I like to think that sometimes I taught my little big brother how to do things. If not teach him, at least do something good enough to where he had to outdo me. One example is that we were trying to ride our bikes backwards. He kind of gave up, but I kind of kept going, so I got better than him. And he was like, oh, I've got to get better. I can't let my little brother outdo me on this. So through my influence, I caused him to, you know, excel at something. But, you know, kind of that desire of my little brother wanting to be like me, I want that. I should laugh a little faster. We could get through this faster. Like we talked about a little bit this morning, I want to be like Jesus. And we do that by looking unto Jesus and being taught by this better teacher. Your teacher probably showed you how to do something, then oversaw you doing it. Because if you're anything like me, you can tell me and tell me and tell me and tell me and even show me and show me. But until I actually get my hands on it and do it for myself, it kind of just goes one in ear out the other. So let me have my hands on it, then I'll hopefully figure it out. But I learned this principle of, you know, a teacher teaching something and then giving instruction, you know, handing the tool or the pen or something into their hands and watching them and giving them instruction. I learned that in the classroom when I was supervising in the Christian day school. How I'd try to show them how to do it, give them the pen or the pencil, have them do it and give instruction. You know, no, it's not what I taught you, and, you know, get back and do it right. And even in the lower, especially in the lower level, I had to be a constant supervisor and oversee what they were doing because it was even more important there. I had to intentionally oversee. But we saw Jesus, he came and lived this life and as an example for us. But then we have now the comforter or the helper to teach us in all things. Jesus said that this helper will be one to bring into remembrance all the things that he said. So this helper, this better teacher, is the one to remind us. What is he going to remind us of? Well, one thing he's going to remind us of is that you are made in the image of God. You bear his name. Even if you aren't a believer, even if you aren't a child of God, you are a creation of God. And so even there you bear his name. A professional artist You know, an expert can tell that person painted that by, you know, brush strokes and how it happens. But we bear the name of God. We bear His image. So sometimes maybe the Holy Spirit, this better teacher, has to remind us of that. He reminds us that you shouldn't go there, you shouldn't watch that, you shouldn't participate in that, you shouldn't say that. I remember when I went out to school, to college in Pennsylvania. I was kind of the odd duck because I went second semester, and so I was trying to fit in, you know, because everybody already had their friends and the cliques were already formed, and so I wanted to fit in and all that. And so I was raised with, there was a lot of words that we didn't use. A lot of people used them, and maybe they weren't necessarily bad, but there was some of the words that we didn't use. But all, you know, just randomly when we were playing volleyball, I said one of those words, and a few people just stopped and looked at me. No big deal if somebody else said it, but they noticed that I didn't. And so when I did, they took notice. Why did I do it? Well, probably just to be like everybody else. But it reminded me, and it was partly, you know, through the thumb in the back of the Holy Spirit saying, you know, others are watching you. We have a way that you ought to live, and you kind of just broke it just so others would notice. Others would maybe think that you're cool or something like that. So the Holy Spirit is there for even the little things that, you know, you shouldn't say that. But we need help. We need a teacher. And even many times, we need one to remind. I can't tell you how many times that I've went back and asked for a refresher. Remind me again how to do this. Especially up there at the print shop when I worked up there. Those machines and things, I'd go back constantly. How do I do this? What button was that again? And so we have to go back to His Word, get back to on our knees, say, Lord, I need You. Holy Spirit, I need You. I need that wonderful counselor. I need that comforter. I need that helper. Lord, I want to please You more than anything else. And the Father wants to give us this better teacher to teach us all things. And I've had one or two students that didn't want to learn. You know how difficult that makes teaching them if they don't want to learn? Lord, help us to be clay in His hands, moldable clay in His hands. Lord, teach me, make me into who You want me to be. We must ask for the Holy Spirit, and that moves us on to us, a better learner. We ask, who am I? Who am I? Well, if we're a child of God, if we're born again, then we're a new creation, we're a part of His family, and we belong to Him. And so we can say, we know Jesus. Isn't that a comforting thought? We know Jesus. We don't just know about Him. We know Jesus. We are being taught by this helper, the Spirit of Truth, this comforter. John 16:8 says, He is the one who will convince the world of the reality of sin, the right way to live, the consequences of going your own way. But I'm talking about us right now. So what does John 14:7 say? The Spirit of Truth, who the world cannot receive because it does not see Him or even know Him, but He dwelleth in you. And the world sees you. It's through us that the world will see Jesus. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. So get this, the better we learn from the better teacher about the better Savior, the better the world will see Him. What a fantastic opportunity to glorify our Father in heaven. But we must walk in the Spirit of Truth. And we are a better learner when we set our hearts and our minds to know Jesus. So this better teacher, you know, I kind of titled the sermon Better Teacher, but maybe I should say Better Learner, because that's the big focus. But the better teacher, He is the faithful one to teach and to help and to guide every step of the way. But again, there can be troublesome students who just say, I don't care about this. You know, especially when it came to like physics and geometry and algebra. It's like, when will I ever have to know this for life? And I'll say, well, you likely won't use it, to be honest with you, unless you become a teacher like me, you know. But it will, you know, all this learning and stuff, critical thinking, it will help you form your mind and shape your mind and how to do this and that and the other thing. So let's be a better learner, one that says, yes, Lord, and even if it doesn't make sense right now, I want to be clay in your hands for you to mold. Lord, why are you making me into that shape? Why are you putting that design on it? Why are you leaving me in the fire that long? He's got a perfect purpose, a plan for your life. And so if you start asking questions, if you start maybe doing a little bit of resisting, it becomes a little bit harder for him to teach. The helper. The better we learn from the better teacher about the better Savior, the better the world will see him. O boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine, that I, child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. He has given us the power, the ability to let his image shine to the world around us. Lord, help us to be a better learner of this better teacher about the better Savior so that the world could see him better. So I hope that was just short, sweet, and to the point. We done? Okay, didn't know if you want to say anything else. All right, well, let's stand. I hope everybody in here wants to be taught by the Holy Spirit each step of the way. Remember, we're not living for this world, so the things of this world really don't matter. And so when he cuts away this or molds us in this way, yes, Lord, I want to know all I can about you so that your image can shine to the world. Thank God. Father, thank you so much for this wonderful day you've given to us, all your blessings and your goodness and your presence in our lives. Thank you for the Comforter, that helper that you sent to lead us down, to guide us each step of the way down through life. Help us to be moldable clay in your hands. Teach us how you want us to live, what you want us to do. We want to do your will, and we want to let the light of Jesus shine through us to a world that desperately needs it. Use us for your glory. Give you praise for all you do. Protect us as we go our separate ways. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.